I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa!
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Make it count. Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly. And sponsored by MD Anderson Cancer Center on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell on a hump day edition, short work week. Hope you guys had an awesome Memorial Day weekend. Fricky's been working overtime, man. He's pulling a shift today, filling in for Carl Dukes, and we're live at Mercedes-Benz. It's an earlier start, 6:30 pregame tonight, United and the Revolution. So we got a few more hours to have some shenanigans. We'd like to start the show. John, please participate with a big hearty, hey,
yo,
man.
Oh, hey, oh, yo, hey, big man.
John has quietly quit the chance to help us market the beer, which does have the 95 logo on it. Hey, man, D-Led was on with John Chucky last night. I caught some of that, and they were talking about this roster.
They were saying, hey, what?
Hey, man, so what do you think about this team? And you did in one of your big bold predictions talking about some teams like the Jets. You think the Jets and, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think you're high on him doing well this year. I know when we looked at the schedule a few weeks ago, you're kind of feeling, well, this is a win, that's a loss. It's what we do in sports talk radio.
Mm-hmm, right.
How many wins do you think the Falcons grab this year?
Well, all right, so it's funny you mentioned it because you see here I have the Falcons schedule, and I went through and I said, okay, you're favored against the Panthers. Then I went, what would I think? You favored underdog or, you know, pick them. I only have the Falcons as legit underdogs in five games.
I mean,
because you go through it. Panthers, right, favored. Tell me where you argue with this. Panthers favored, right? Packers favored. Right. Lions, underdog. Jaguars, underdog. Texans favored. Right. Commanders favored. Probably a pick 'em or even
Bucks,
a favorite against the Bucks. Underdog to the Titans.
I think we'd be favored against the Titans if Tannehill is struggling.
Maybe. Pick 'em against the Vikings. I don't know. Favorite against the Cardinals, a favorite at home against the Saints, underdog to Rodgers and the Jets, right, in New York. Favorite against the Bucks at home, maybe underdog by this time to the Panthers, but favorite against the Colts, pick them or favorite against the Bears, pick them or favorite against – I think that you're – I only see four or five games where I think you're legitimately – of course, now things will change, Mike,
right,
over the course of the year. But right now I go, okay, maybe there's five where you're the underdog, a legitimate underdog. I think you're pick 'em or favorite in all the rest.
Yeah, we were joking around yesterday. Steak was saying, you know, you don't know. You think, yes,
sure.
You look at the schedule, like teams will be rising, teams will be falling. The injury bug can bite anybody. We get all that, but I get your point. When you look at the fact that you've got a bunch of potentially rookie quarterbacks going up, and then of course some guys would say, well, Desmond Ridder only playing in four games cancels that out because he's still got to earn his stripes in the NFL, which I understand.
Sure, I get that too.
But
you may have the best backup quarterback in the league who's capable of starting, and by the way, capable of winning you games. Some of the people are underselling the fact that if Desmond Ridder, we don't hope he doesn't get injured, but let's go say he goes out there the first 3 weeks and he goes to Detroit and it just ain't working for him. By the time they go to London, Heinicke could be in, and you know what? You can win a title with Heinicke. You can win a division title with him.
Well, I will say this, and we did say this a few weeks ago. Heinicke's a guy that, you know, nearly, you know, beat the Buccaneers a couple years ago, and you could argue that even though we considerably, you know, our wide receiver room is a little light, we still have got more playmakers in the Washington Commanders or WTFs back then ever had in that divisional playoff round.
Right. No, this is why I'm saying I think he's the best backup quarterback in the league, worthy of being a starter in this league. And this is a team that I said 10 wins, and if I had to go to Vegas, this is me. No, this is why I don't bet, because I think in Vegas it's something like 7.5, And if I were in Vegas, I'd be betting the over on the Falcons like nobody's business, because I said if I had 10, I'd bet the over.
Right. I just felt this year the division and why we've got the winning percentage, or sorry, the opponent's winning percentage is so low, mm-hmm. is partly because of this division. And look, Derek Carr, I just don't see that as – he's a brand name to Vegas. He's a brand name to national media, and Ritter's certainly not established yet. So that's why people have been giving the Saints the edge. But you could argue, you know, their defensive coordinator, they've done a really good job defensively. We've got him. We've got their defensive tackle. We've got a guy that had 7 sacks in Braden Ellis. We got some dudes, man. Caden Ellis, I should say.
Well, yeah, and again, I always encourage fans. One of the reasons I was saying I'm so high on this team is to go to Our Lads. You use Our Lads, Mike.
Right.
We all use in the industry Our Lads, O-U-R-L-A-D-S. And all you have to do in your browser is plug in Falcons, Our Lads, and it'll pop up. And you can do it with any team in the NFL.
Right.
Do it with almost any team in college football. If you want to pop up Auburn, Our Lads, or Tennessee, Our Lads, or Florida, Our Lads, and you'll see your current depth chart. And if you look at the Falcons depth chart, and you go to Our Lads and look at their depth chart, and suddenly you see, Mike, you see names like Darren Hall and Jalen Hawkins and Taquan Graham and Arnold Ebiketie and Adi Ogundeji, Eddie Goldman and Michael Walker and D'Angelo Malone. They're all backups. These guys were starters for us who are now backups. So we have something we haven't had in a long time, depth. We've got depth at quarterback, because your starting quarterback is better this year than your starting quarterback at the beginning of last year. Your backup quarterback is better than your backup quarterback at last year. And if you look at a quarterback room, if they have the best backup quarterback in the NFL in Heinicke,
right.
I don't know how you sit there and say they have a terrible quarterback room. They don't.
And the defense, as we said, is doing, again, what you've added, what you've – now, again, if the rookies pop, talk about guys like Ebiketie, but the defensive line –
Well, wouldn't you think he's going to be better in year two?
Well, here's the thing. Either he is, or you start to think maybe we blew it on the second-round pick, and he was clearly a second-tier guy from the first-round dudes.
Well, he was still one of the more effective pass rushers in the rookie class last year.
And just – through perhaps the fact he was not surrounded by better talent, that he didn't pop. I thought there were some certain games where he popped, but I got to be honest, we've been wasting a lot of second. Again, some of this is before Terry Fontenot, but we've had some real big busts on defensive line.
Yeah, well, sure. No, there's always ifs and buts and this and that. I mean, is Jesse Bates, is Jeff Okuda, you know, I mean, Richie Grant certainly popped last year. I mean, he had a really good season last year. But you have, you know, now Bates and Richie Grant in the secondary at safety. You have A.J. Terrell, and he takes the pressure off Jeff Okuda, who doesn't have to be the number one guy. So you have this – they say that the Clark Phillips, the youngster that they brought in, was a steal of the draft, and that he's worthy of being an NFL starter right now as a rookie. And so, no, I think the secondary is in fine shape. Little question marks, a few I want to hear here and there about maybe what are we going to get out of the linebacking corps. But I think from a – Ryan Nielsen's got a defense. We're not asking him to be all world. We're asking them to be middle of the pack.
Right.
And when Ritter says that the offense could be explosive, I agree. And so I think this team is set up to win a number of games.
Well, I've had this debate or argument with a lot of guys on social media, trying to – Squidbillies had it too, Bo Morgan from the morning shift. A lot of guys just didn't recognize the money spent in free agency. And a lot of guys said, well, we've been so bad defensively, and historically we don't have a pass rush, so why have we gone offense, offense, offense the last three drafts with our first pick?
They spent $75 million in free agency.
Correct. And, guys, I just don't think people realize, as Arthur Smith has said on a number of occasions, we have to score more points. The defense, as bad as it was with no-name guys on one-year contracts, was in almost every single game, save for the Cincinnati game, where the secondary
right, you got blown out one time.
And every other game you were into in the last possession, Mariota couldn't deliver the goods. You just rolled the dice with him too long. Speaking of the offense, Drake London went on Jim Rome's show, and he says, my mentality going into last year was, you know, do everything I possibly could. I felt like I had a lot of hiccups, and there's still a lot left. Now, the hiccups, I think we attribute to Mariota. He goes, I feel there's a lot I can go out there and finish. He says, I think about Ritter. He did a great job for the circumstances he was put in, straight thrown into the fire at the end of the season, and he talked about adding the duo have become a growing connection. Every Falcon fan out there saw as soon as Drake London got involved, or so Ritter got on the field, Drake London got more involved in the offense.
All right, so we all know that Desmond Ritter got better game over game over game all four games, correct? We also know that last year he finished the season and he played in those four games with Drake London.
Right.
He played in those games with Tyler Allgeier, and he played in those games with Cordarrelle Patterson. This year he's going to start the season on opening day with Tyler Allgeier and Drake London and Cordarrelle Patterson and Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. He just more than doubled his weapons around him.
Right.
And he's got four games of experience. I think you're going to see a quarterback who's in command and control. He didn't have to win you games. He just got to put it in the hands of all these guys and let them rip.
The thing, though, about that, it's just I get that we're all excited, and I wanted this guy to get this job so bad last summer because I always knew that Mariota was a bum. He's a journeyman at this stage of his career. Couldn't even see it through when he was demoted. And I just felt that, man, we squandered a lot of opportunities. The Bears game was a great first game. We gave him 6 games under his belt. That's a nice sample size. Herm Edwards, I know you and I have talked about this last week. Herm Edwards says you just don't know what you got with a guy in 4 games.
I know.
So I have full faith and credit
in the backup.
Right. Yeah, but nobody wants it to come to that. With all due respect to Taylor, we want to see this guy become the guy.
But if it does, I mean, I'm okay.
Right.
So here's another thing. So D-Led put this out 4 hours ago, and I wanted to ask you about this. This is D-Led. He's talking about, speaking of the Falcons, this is old school Falcons here, Croy Bierman, right? He says, things are getting messy in the Bierman divorce case. Accusations of weed smoking and gambling have made their way into court documents during apparently the time that he played for the Falcons from 2008 to 2015. What is it with it? I want to ask you about, I don't care about him and Kim and their divorce.
Right.
What I am interested in, except for the fact she happens to be a free agent on the market, and I don't think she's been signed, is that you had Le'Veon Bell coming out saying, hey, listen, I went full Ricky Williams. I was smoking weed right before games, and I was getting loaded up. Mike, I don't get it, because if I were to smoke weed before a game, I think I would not be able to function properly. Whoa, dude, things are going so slow. You know, the defensive lineman looks small.
Well, some guys react. Now, again, some guys, I mean, in college, yes, some guys.
Reaction time is not.
Some
so,
guys may have been driving 25 miles an hour in the car.
This is the longest first quarter in the history of football.
But now, one of these guys are smoking weed to mitigate pain management.
Boy, yeah, they're also getting stoned.
Well, they've also got the uppers to get you lean. And there's things you can take. There's energy pills you can take, too. There's ways to manage this pain.
Wait, we're going to go Jim Morrison here? We're going to go this side, that one, this offside, this one, that one?
Croy Bierman.
You're going to end up in a cemetery in Paris, and somebody's going to say, you know, too bad you died so young?
Croy Bierman was a nice player for a fifth-round draft pick, and it was kind of an indication of just how poor our defense was, and he was considered one of the better players. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. That woman, we knew that was going to go down this road. I'll never forget the day she came with the cameras and waited like five minutes left in practice. You got this stupid reality show, The Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's like, I mean,
really?
I'm going to watch my tongue. I don't want to get myself in hot water. But what did you think was going to freaking happen with this? Now, granted, where he grew up out on the farm, there ain't women like her. So she got the talents into him. And I'm surprised it lasted as long as he did. So, trouble for the kids. Hopefully they get through it. Wished him nothing but the best. But if Croy Bierman, maybe, I don't know, could he play any worse at times? You know, with or without the mood management.
Well, I don't know. Somebody said I did that. I did that way too, like I was too familiar with what was going on.
But I will say this.
You know, I'm going to sit here and lie to you that I didn't partake back in the day. I did.
Yeah, but John, I got to be honest. You know, when you were lighting them up with Timothy Leary, things have advanced now. They've got these tech. Now they've tuned this stuff up where it's not the kind of buzz you're talking about.
No. Dennis Leary, not wrong Leary.
Timothy Leary?
No, Dennis Leary.
Yeah, Dennis Leary. Yeah, I was going to say. Hey, guys, you can read the article from D-Led in the AJC about it. But, yeah, Bierman, that's come out in the open for whatever
reason. Not Bierman. He's now a pop man.
Yeah. Good call. Hey, man, Jason Longshore just rolled in. Look at that Tam O'Shanter. Is that a different? I don't think I've seen the black Tam O'Shanter. It's one of his signature lids.
Are you going to golfing? Is that what we're doing here?
No, that's what he does, baby.
No, I know it.
Jason's going to pop in for our strong arm story. Tell us what's going on.
I'd wear one, but I would look really stupid in it. He looks good in them. Me, not so much.
You look like John Wayne. You look like the quiet man. You got to give it a shot. Hey, man, he'll come up next, talks about what's going to happen tonight with United Revolution and Mercedes-Benz live on Dukes and Bell.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Radio 92.9 The Game Sports Flash. Brought to you by Bader Scott Accident Attorneys. After an accident, don't wait. Dial 8. Call 404-888-8888.
I'm Joe Patrick. The Sports Flash is brought to you by Rugby ATL. Get tickets at rugbyatl.rugby. In soccer, Atlanta United is back on the field tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for some midweek MLS action against the New England Revolution. It's a quick turnaround after the team's 1-1 draw with rivals Orlando City over the weekend. Atlanta United sits fifth in the Eastern Conference standings heading into tonight's matchup. In baseball, the Braves are hoping to get their offense clicking today as they're in action on a getaway day against the A's in Oakland. Braves carried a four-game lead against the Mets and Marlins hitting into today's action despite having lost two in a row to the A's, the worst team in baseball. The team will head to Arizona after the game to prepare for a weekend series in Arizona where Charlie Morton, Spencer Strider, and Michael Soroka are set to start in the series. Come cheer on Rugby ATL, Atlanta's premier Major League Rugby team, this Friday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. as they take on the New England Free Jacks at Silverbacks Park. Buy your tickets at rugbyatl.rugby. Get your tickets before they're sold out. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Joe Patrick from the Kia Studios on your home of tonight's Atlanta United game against New England. Kickoff at 7, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Hey man, look who's here. It's Jason Longshore at Longshoe on Twitter. The silky smooth sounds of the Tam O'Shanter you're wearing. Soccer aficionado, you'll hear with Mike Conti, 6:30 pregame. What time is the kick actually tonight?
7:25.
Oh, hey, Jersey Mike. Hey, Mike, drop the pizza, the microphone. Yeah, we can't hear him.
We can't hear Jason.
Oh, and the engineer, you had a no-hitter going, for crying out loud. Oh. No good deed goes unpunished. I buy these guys three slices of pizza, and then he's asleep at the wheel.
Man, 7:25 is your kickoff.
Oh, man.
We have a long pregame show.
All right, man. So where are we at? I mean, I know we've already talked about, and John, we mentioned during the conversation, the commercial break, are we where we think we're going to be? The start to the season was so dynamic, and it just seems like, is it a combination of the games we didn't have Giakoumakis, we just don't seem to be able to hang?
Yeah, I mean, when you don't have the same lineup consistently, it's hard to build that chemistry. And that's something that I think we've seen as of late. You've had red cards, you've had injuries, you've had yellow card accumulation. When you have those changes to the lineup, things can get just a little out of whack. And I feel like that's where this team is this year. They're above average. They have the means to be better, and I think we expect a little bit better. But they're also still in a good spot in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
The biggest question, and we were talking about it before we got started, is what happens in the summer? And we just don't know yet. With, you know, Luis Araujo is on his way out, but we don't know what happens with Thiago Almada. We don't know any other moves. And that could change the trajectory once you get to that summer window. We just don't know yet.
All right, let's talk about Brad Guzan coming back and the help in front of him. You finally have, we hope, Guzan close to 100%. You have Miles Robinson, but the supporting cast around them has been wanting at times. Is it been more tactical errors, in your opinion, or talent errors, or what has led to some of the breakdowns on defense?
Individual mistakes. It comes down to individual mistakes, and I think having somebody like Brad back in goal is a big help for this group. No disrespect to Quentin Westberg and Clément Diop. They're both new. They don't have that relationship with a Miles Robinson, even with a Juan Oparata, who hasn't been here that long. They're building in that relationship. So when they make a big save, when they speak up in the back trying to organize, it's not that it's ignored. It's that it doesn't have the same power that it does with Guzan. I think if you look back at that Orlando game, the big save he made in the second half, you saw a lift in the team from that. you got a boost from that.
Right.
And you also saw, I think, a different level of organization. Brad is very, very vocal. One, he's always talking. He's always telling the center backs who's coming behind them, who's on their back shoulder, what they have to watch out for, when to clear, when they're under pressure. He's always talking. When you get used to that and then you lose it, you can have mistakes happen. And I think we've seen too many mistakes defensively. This back line, to me, they're too talented to give up some of the goals that they have. It's down to the individual moments of execution that they've made mistakes.
It is our man, Jason Longshore. Guys, we've been live all afternoon from Mercedes-Benz. Be back here on Friday for an open practice with the Falcons. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be down on the field for that. Jason, you just mentioned Almada. He's a rock star. And people, I mean, again, World Cup, the amazing goals that are making highlights all over the world. Is there still a chance he doesn't get transferred this year?
There is. There's also a chance that he gets transferred, but he finishes the season here.
Okay.
And I think what you have to look for, and right now it is the preamble to silly season worldwide. So the leagues in Europe are coming to a conclusion. Most have finished their regular season. You got the Europa League final today, Champions League final next weekend. After that, you'll see a little bit of a break, but teams are starting to even make maneuvers now. You're seeing coaches hired.
Right.
You're seeing coaches fired. You're seeing sporting directors fired, even when they win titles in Germany. You're seeing things happen that will affect what could happen to Thiago Almada. Because I don't think he's going to be the first number one signing, the most important move in the summer for a top big team. I think he's going to be a move for a top big team, but maybe not the first move. He's also, some of the clubs that are interested in him are going to have to move guys out to have the resources to bring him in.
What's he going to bring, $30 million?
I think that's the bottom level, honestly. I think that could be the bottom level for him. I think it might be in the 30s up to around 40.
Wow.
He can't go to England because he gets mugged here in MLS. Where is the Italian league the better fit because style makes him better over there?
I like him in the Italian leagues. I think he's such a smart player. He's got such a high soccer IQ that I think he'd fit. It depends on the club in England where he would go, potentially. If he went to a Brighton, for example, with Roberto De Zerbi, who's a really interesting manager who has a lot of similarities to Gonzalo Pineda in the way that they see the game and wanting to build up play out of the back. If you're Thiago Almada and you go there, the things that he's going to ask you to do in terms of checking back to get on the ball, turning and going, it's the exact same.
Okay.
Atlanta United, New England Revolution, 7:25 kickoff, live on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. John Fricke and Mike Bell. At the AT&T Perch. Doors are open. Fans are coming in here for this midweek match between Arthur Blank and Robert Kraft's teams here. Jason Longshore joining us. My brother is a gigantic Chelsea fan, and he wanted me to ask you a question in regards to the friendly that's coming up with Newcastle.
Yeah.
Has Darren Eales given any indication that he'll allow or play Miggy in his return to Atlanta?
Oh, I think he's got to. I mean, it might be 45, but I think he's got to. He'll make an appearance for sure. Again, it's early going into an off season for Miguel Almiron. They'll be ramping up. I think that's one that Miggy will want to make an appearance as well.
Right.
I don't know their full schedule in terms of Newcastle for the preseason. So you have to manage the workload for guys. So I don't think anybody will go 90 in that, for example. But will he be more on the 30-minute kind of thing where he comes in the second half, or will he play the first 45? We just don't know yet. But I think he'll play.
You know, one of the things I talked to Garth Ogilvie about, and it may be a little bit unfair because he's so relatively new here, but you can certainly fill me in on it. I was talking to him about, you know, George Bello going over to Bundesliga and some of the other things that are starting to develop up and out of the academy. And we're now starting to see guys that are coming through the academy who I think are probably more accomplished, like in the second wave, than they were in the first wave. And that's no, you know, I'm not disrespecting Andrew Carleton, but I'm looking at the Caleb Wileys of the world. And now there's a second wave, and there will be a third wave. Are you getting a sense through Atlanta United, too, that as these waves of young players start to come up, that we're going to see an increase in quality and an increase in their ability to affect the big club?
Yeah, 100%. And I think you're seeing it right now with the twos. You're seeing it around the league, I think, as just the academy programs league-wide get better. Now, some clubs still don't put enough into it. For example, New England, they've signed 9 homegrown players. They started in 1996. They've signed 9.
Wow.
We've signed 9. You know, like, there's a difference there. But when you go back to that first wave of guys coming through the academy for Atlanta United, they were guys who came in maybe their last year as a youth player. They had developed in the local youth scene, and they weren't treated as professionals at that time. You get the Caleb Wileys, he grew up in the academy, so he learned what it was like to be a professional starting at 11, 12. This next generation now you're getting into a group who has grown up and really known nothing other than Atlanta United. And when you see a Thiago Almada go for the transfer fee that he could go for, when you see Caleb Wiley go for the transfer fee that he will command, because it's coming. Caleb Wiley's at the U-20 World Cup right now and playing really, really well. He's going to get a big offer, really, from anywhere in the world. You talk about player profile,
right. He
could go to England straight away. And that's a lot of money coming in. Then that next generation, that next young left back, wants to be the next Caleb Wiley.
And we've got to maximize the talent while we got it. That's always
and then reload.
Right,
and that's the thing.
Model.
But that's the nature of it. I mean, outside of, honestly, the Premier League and maybe a couple of other clubs worldwide, I mean, even Barcelona's got to be smart about how they spend their money these days. They're moving everything to try to get Messi in there right now. Real Madrid can spend what they want. There's a couple others. But generally, you got to develop your talent. You got to sign guys at a young age, develop them, and then sell at the right time and bring the next wave in.
Hey, one last note. We were just talking about Americans and, you know, setting the tone, raising the bar for fan interest and having guys to hang your hat on. Christian Pulisic, Chelsea's a hot mess. They spent over $500 million, so they got to trim some fat. Ooh. So is he going to land in Juventus, America's best soccer player?
Yeah, I think he's the best one right now. Okay. I think that's fair.
To Italy, how would that work out for him?
I don't know. Juventus is an interesting spot because they're going to have a points penalty that's going to take them out of Champions League. So we'd go in there, it'd be in a situation where maybe the expectation's a little bit less, which might be a good thing. Weston McKennie, I don't think, got the love that he should have gotten there when he was at Juve. And he's going to be able to tell Christian everything about Juve and how they function and how they're run. I don't know if it's the best spot for Pulisic, to be honest, but he does have to leave Chelsea. He's got to play.
Right.
And Chelsea signed every player they could possibly find. Todd Boehly walked in with an open checkbook and just signed guys. Right. And it got to the point that literally they had to build on extensions to the training ground because they didn't have enough room for these guys. They had too many guys to run training sessions.
Wow.
You couldn't keep guys going. Graham Potter loses his job. Frank Lampard doesn't do anything. Now you've got a new manager coming in who wants his guys.
Yeah.
They've got to
Pochettino,
trim some of that
right?
fat. Yeah, Pochettino's a great manager. Right. I'd love for him to give Pulisic a chance because I think they would work well together, and I think it would benefit Christian's game, but there's just so many bodies there, he might be the odd man out.
All right, let's circle this back, Jason Longshore. 1 minute to go. What kind of game do you expect tonight here at Mercedes-Benz?
I think with New England, this is a team that hasn't won in four in all competitions. They haven't won in three in MLS. They've gotten off the slow starts. It's something that their players are talking about, that Bruce Arena's talked about. Atlanta United needs to get off to a fast start tonight. They need to set the tone early. And when I say they need to get off to a fast start, it's not bombing the ball forward and going to chase it. It's building up the play the way that we've seen them do and getting forward as a unit into the attacking half, creating chances, getting Giakoumakis going, but also if ball turns over in the attacking half, win it back quickly and go to goal. That's something this team's done well this season, but they've got to start in control of this match.
We look forward to it. Yep, 6:30 pregame and about an hour away, so you got to get upstairs and get ready.
I got work to do, people.
Let me go hit that spread. Good stuff, brother.
Thank you, Jason.
Hey, man, Fricky's hanging in for Carl today. Earlier today, we got a chance to catch up what's going on down in Destin. We normally talk to Grant McCauley, but the Braves are still rolling right now. Up ahead, don't want to jinx it. We're going to get Grant in the 6 o'clock hour, but next, see what Chip Towers has to say about what the coaches are doing, and is anything getting done at the SEC Coaches Beach Palooza in Destin?
Drinking.
That's about it.
Yeah, right, exactly. It is Atlanta United and the New England Revolution live at 7:25 on Sports Radio 99, the game in the Odyssey app. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Sports Radio 92 on the game. John Fricke in for Carl Dukes. He'll be back tomorrow from Mexico with Mike Bell, talking to a couple of great fans here from Carrollton who just dropped by up here on the perch here. And then Taffer's Tavern, which is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, has a place, caddy corner from us. And this They dropped some food off. Well, I'm going to tell you.
How are the pork bellies, oof, man?
That pork belly is seriously good.
Awesome. Now, we ate Taffer's last week. We got these guys are all, again, right here
in Alpharetta,
in the 200 level. Yeah, man. So the pork bellies and chicken tenders, and again, in Alpharetta, but they're right here in Mercedes-Benz. So come on down and get the goodies. And that's, I love the show, by the way. As a former bartender,
right, bar rescue,
you know, years ago.
But he doesn't, you know, he goes in there and tells you what you're doing
wrong.
That's
what I love about it. I mean, but it's so much fun because you actually, how many of us who ever worked in a restaurant know, if I ran this restaurant for 5 minutes, the things I could fix and get right, he comes in, boom, and drops bombs and gets it going. Always a lot of fun.
Of course, we want you to be part of the show and drop on by if you're in the stadium. Not, well, I guess if you're in the stadium, if you're coming into the stadium, we're up at the AT&T perch on the 200 level. As we get ready for Atlanta United and the New England Revolution.
Yeah, man, Grant McCall is going to join us when the Braves wrap up. Don't want to jinx it. Man, they've been really sluggish against a terrible A's team. John's been calling them the double A's all
season.
They're
the double A's.
They really are, man.
And then we play them, and suddenly they're the, man, we're the triple A's.
So we'll get Grant's
we're
take
like
on
the
that.
Single A's, or I don't know.
Normally we talk to Grant McCauley right about here at 540. But earlier today, we get a chance to catch up with the only other story that's really breaking is – what are the coaches having to say down there? This, they do this SEC Beach Palooza, then before you know it, it's SEC Media Days. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting to hear Nick Saban, whatever agenda Nick is pushing, right, he starts with that. It starts down here.
Right.
In this case, more bellyaching about NIL. And then Eli Drinkwitz, you know, complaining about, oh, I've got a son-in-law who's a pediatrician. I've got these kids making more money than he does. And you and I both said, hold the phone. You're making $6 million at Missouri.
Right.
World's smallest violin for the pediatrician.
Well, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, to hear all this discussion about NIL, in my opinion, is kind of like to complain about it. It doesn't do any good. And they just keep – and it's just keeping on and keeping on complaining right. about the portal and complaining about the NIL. And I'm like, everybody's got to deal with it. So when Saban said, here was one of his quotes here, he says it's a competitive, talking about the NIL, it's going to create a real competitive disadvantage for some in the future, and it's going to create an imbalance in the competitive nature of the sport. What? You know what he's talking about? He's saying, I'm not going to be able to dominate because of this thing. That's what he's saying.
It's just like years ago or last season when he said, oh, Texas bought and paid Texas A&M to everybody, which was all that was just a shot across the bow of his own boosters to get our butts in gear and pony up in Alabama so we can outspend the other guys. Nick Saban is so full of crap. I'm telling you, look, no one, I'm not debating it, John, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college football coach of all time. And it's amazing what he's created. But this stuff, the way he pushes this agenda in this passive-aggressive manner, like the Texas A&M stuff last year, which he then walked back. Brother, the top 25 is the same top 25 for 50 years. There's a couple teams which, you and I said this, teams like Miami or Nebraska or Florida State may drop out, they come back in. Nothing ever changes in college football. So I'm not buying what Saban is selling. Well, you and I were talking about the 9-game schedule. Why is there such pushback to the nine conference game schedule in the SEC?
Well, because these coaches want to, you know, win games. They want to be able to go to their boosters and say, you know, it's not so much the Georgias and Alabamas. They're going to be fine.
Right.
But it's the, you know, the Kentuckys and the Mississippi States who want to get to 6 wins and say, you know, you're 6-6. And they want to play, you know, Northwestern, you know, Nickel State and not, you know, not Auburn again.
Right. And we talked to Chip Towers, who's down in Destin in his bathing suit, eating some good seafood and catching the coach's nonsense. And we asked him, what's up with the schedule conflict?
You know, it's interesting. I just got through a few minutes ago talking to Sam Pittman, the Arkansas coach, and he said that he, you know, came into these meetings thinking 9 games. And, you know, as he was standing there today, the head coach is wrapping up their portion of the meeting. He was thinking maybe 8. And the general attitude, really, I think, is they say a lot of, you know, different things. But it really comes down to self-preservation. It comes down to, you know, a 9th game, meaning there's, 8 more losses hanging out there for – you know, half of the 16 teams and you know, certainly for the guys in the middle to the bottom of the conference, you know, to them, that might be the difference between, I don't think it's really as much the bowl. You hear them talk a lot about the bowl game, but I mean, you know, you lose money when you go to the Independence Bowl or whatever. So I don't think it's a money-making opportunity. I think it's just self-preservation and being able to keep your job. And so guys like Mark Stoops have been kind of outspoken about keeping it at 8. And but listen, you know, the bottom line, you know, I've been covering this league for a long time. Greg Sankey wants 9, and, you know, he's the guy. He's certainly a mover and shaker. in college athletics these days. And my general, opinion on it, personal opinion, is that, you know, the commissioner get what he wants. That was the case with Mike Slive. That was the case with Roy Kramer. And that's how the league has been able to continue to grow for a long period of time. So they only need an 8-6 vote. And, so it's not like a vast majority or anything like that. You just got to get over half. And Texas and Oklahoma are actually in the room. They're at the meetings here. They're not able to vote because they're not officially members until next year. But, you know, I just based on where I'm sitting, I would think Texas and Oklahoma would be proponents of a ninth game as well. But we could come out of this thing without a vote, guys. It could get stalemated and tabled and pushed out till later.
Well, here's my problem. That's Chip Towers of the AJC down at Destin earlier in the show with Mike and I. Here's my problem with the SEC right now with what Kirby Smart is saying. You are the biggest, baddest bully. You are the king, right, and the big walking, talking, and you're out here acting like, oh, I think we're a little scared of something. And in the meantime, the Big Ten, which now has a new commissioner, is out there going, hey, listen, we got USC and UCLA. We're about to add four more teams. We're going to expand again. Right. We're going to go to 20, and we may go to 24 teams. We're going to play 9 conference games, and we're going to get a television deal. The SEC should lead the way, and I get a sense, Mike, that they're now trailing in some regards the Big Ten. I'm not saying on the football field necessarily.
But payout per team, Big Ten's bigger right now.
Right, and it's going to get even bigger and even bigger again because they're going to keep breaking. One of the things that's true about television contracts, as you add teams and the SEC adds teams, you break the television contract.
Right.
Because you have to include now a new television contract to support those new teams. And so the Big Ten is going to break and grow, break and grow, and break and grow again,
right,
to the point where you're going to leave Florida State's going to, your team is going to be in a serious world of hurt if suddenly Northwestern is getting $50 or $60 million a year more than you are.
And that's where they're at today. As you guys know, we talked about it last week with West Durham. ACC's got the worst second, I guess the next, Pac-12's the worst, that's the second worst is the ACC. But just real quick, two things. I get it, if you're a Kentucky and now I've got to play another Western division opponent, now I've lost my bowl eligibility if I'm having a down year. But again, you cry me a river. You know, you've got this money coming in. Get your boosters on board. Do your job. Nick Saban's kind of rattling. Let's be honest. He's throwing this cap out. Let's go. Kick more money in the kit when he's talking about all these NIL issues he's got. The other part of this is you are putting more guys in the NFL than anybody if you're Georgia. You're never going to get hurt by an extra loss, even if it comes early in the season, late in the season, in the SEC championship, because half of the SEC is going to make the expanded college playoff.
Right.
You've got the best talent. So I just wish Kirby, look, I'm not banging on Kirby. I just wish he took a leadership role on this and said, yes, we are the best, and we should be playing 9 games. Our boosters, our fans deserve to see better competition. But he's not doing that. Is that something that he's lukewarm on? I get it. You're a Georgia fan. You're a booster. You want to see one of these blank shows when Martin comes in? Martin of Tennessee, Martin's potato rolls comes in.
Right.
I mean, come on. You'd rather see an SEC opponent. I joked around with John when I first moved here. I'm like, hey, when does Alabama come? They're like, the next vernal equinox.
Right.
I mean, you played Texas A&M once. You've never played in the 11 years they've been in the SEC if you're Georgia. You've never even been to College Station. That's got to change. But these guys apparently want to slow roll it.
Well, they're not going to. Eventually, Greg Sankey's going to win. They're going to go to 9 conference games. I don't even know why they're even arguing about it. It's just, okay, if you want to argue that maybe not this year, I don't know. I don't know what the argument against it is.
The three rivals, if you're Georgia, you know, the 3-6 model, I like. 6 that rotate, play Auburn, you know, play Florida. You know, it's not that complicated. You know, then it's a matter of Tennessee or South Carolina.
You know, and the teams that argue about the fact that they're going to get shafted because they're going to get, well, Alabama's got to play Auburn, Alabama's got to play Tennessee every year. You know, you can't get rid of the third week in October, can't get rid of the Iron Bowl. Alabama's getting that, whereas somebody else, Kentucky, is going to get, you know, who else? Yeah, I don't know, Arkansas and somebody else. The competitive balance here is so strong in the SEC. Besides, when you expand to 12 teams, the strength of schedule is going to count into this. And so you want to play a more difficult schedule. Georgia's thankful in a lot of ways that this is not a 12-team playoff because they could get relegated by one loss because their strength of schedule this year is going to be very low.
Look, I get it. There's one or two teams we've talked about. Mark Stoops done a hell of a job, went to a New Year's Day Bowl, won 10 games a couple of years ago. But Vanderbilt, yes, it doesn't fit. It doesn't match the eye test, but Vanderbilt's not going anywhere. It is what it is. All the conferences are top-heavy. I would argue that the SEC is less top-heavy than others, but you just pointed out, the money you've got to have to compete. That money comes next to what the new contract with ESPN starts in 24.
Right.
We got one more year, by the way, of Nessler and Gary Danielson, and then it goes to ESPN.
Sports Radio 929 The Game wants to celebrate Father's Day with you. Go to 929thegame.com/contest. Register for your chance to win for you and a guest to join your favorite hosts at a Father's Day dinner June 13th on us at Buckhead Butcher Shop. Tell us why you want to join us on Father's Day. Entries close day after tomorrow on June 2nd, and we'll announce the winners next week. 929thegame.com/contest. When we get back after the top of the hour, the countdown to kickoff here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium rolls on, and we'll see if we can check in as the Braves game winds up in Oakland with Grant McCauley and more on Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.